Let's open with hymn number 68. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto Thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended Thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Show me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, we bless Thee, and praise Thee forever, that Thou didst send Thy Son to rule over us poor sinners, who for our transgressions did justly deserve to remain in the bondage of sin and Satan, and didst give us from Him a meek and righteous King, who by His death became our Savior from sin and eternal death. We beseech Thee so to enlighten, govern, and direct us by Thy Holy Spirit, that we may ever remain faithful to this righteous King and Savior, and not after the manner of the world be offended with His humble form and despised word, but firmly believing in Him, obtain eternal salvation through the same Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with Thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this first Sunday in Advent is found in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, the 31st through the 34th verse, reading as follows. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 13th chapter of Romans, the 11th through the 14th verse. And do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Here ends the epistle lesson. All they that wait on Thee shall not be ashamed, O Lord. Show me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Show me Thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us Thy salvation. Hallelujah. Gospel is found in the 21st chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 9th verse. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, The Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting upon a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in God, one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn number 56.
Jesus came.
Grace be unto you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is found in the 21st chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 9th verse. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. By them prepare us for the coming of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we might give our hearts unto repentance and look to him who is the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, Jesus was always a disappointment, both to his disciples and to his enemies. He disappointed his enemies by making the wrong kind of friends, by being popular with sinners and tax collectors, by refusing to submit to human traditions that the Pharisees imposed upon the Jews as if they were God's laws, and by calling them hypocrites. And when he had disappointed them in all these matters and earned their scorn and hatred, they expected at least that Jesus would show sin or weakness or be slow-witted and so fall into some of their many traps. Alas, they were disappointed again. They were disappointed when he did miracles that proved that he was the Son of God, even to the raising of the dead. But most of all, they were disappointed that he claimed to be Christ. Oh, this was not such a bad thing in itself. They would gladly have followed him if he would be the right kind of Christ. However, it was horrendous that Jesus, of all people, would make this claim. For he refused to be made the kind of king they wanted. He was too meek. He was no pleaser of men. But Jesus' disciples were also often disappointed. In part, it was for some of the same reasons as his enemies, because they too expected Jesus to become a king like his father David, a king greater than even King Solomon. They had many expectations for his kingdom on earth, but all of them were to be disappointed. Jesus would reign as he came into the world, but he would reign lowly and humbly. He would not storm Jerusalem, take the throne for himself, and set up the kingdom of God on earth. Before even the first army could be raised and trained for war, he would be arrested, tormented, and executed. In the face of the great expectations of his disciples, Jesus remained, contrary to all common sense, lowly and humble. It is a humble Savior that comes to Jerusalem, a weak conqueror, a meek warrior, a lowly king. All the world, his friends and enemies, expected Christ to be mighty, but they find him lowly instead. Had they understood the scriptures, they would not have been surprised. They would have believed that even when Christ submitted to every law of men, to man's sorrow and grief, to man's hatred and persecution, and did not revile them or respond in kind, that he is yet mighty and glorious. But all of his glory is hidden. He comes as the scripture said he should come, as Zechariah foretold, as a lowly king. He could have had anything he wanted. He could have had the finest horse, an entourage of mighty angels. But he enters the city of Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Even when he could have had the comfortable ride offered by a female donkey, he instead chooses something even lowlier, her colt. He chose the humblest of the humble beasts of burden. And instead of angels or even mighty men of war, he had his disciples for companions. He did not come with heralds carrying trumpets. Instead, he has little children who sing him hosannas. He came not to be served by men, but to serve men and to give his life a ransom for many. Coming as a lowly king has a number of consequences, because there are always consequences when you fail to meet the expectations of men. The first consequence is offense. Jesus offends his enemies because he is lowly. You see, Jesus was not only a disappointment to them, he truly did offend them. Everything about him was an offense. His lowliness, they despised his weakness and poverty. They wanted a king. There was no shame in swearing allegiance to a magnificent emperor. But this? They are to bow down to a man so lowly that he rides upon a donkey's colt? How could they possibly respect a man such as that as their master? How could they call someone so much below them their teacher? How could they call him indeed their king? Such a man as he could not earn their allegiance, but only their scorn. The second consequence and a great effect, a great cause of offense to men is that if Jesus is lowly, then they who worship him must be more lowly than he is. Could the proud men who ruled the temple and set an example for all of Israel to follow, and could they indeed bow down at the feet of a poor and homeless man? They were not lowly sinners like the people with whom he hung out. Just ask them. By entering Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, Jesus was telling his enemies and his friends and all men everywhere and at every time, as I am lowly, so must you also be lowly. You must count yourselves the same as these sinners who believe in me. If you would be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Would you then follow Jesus? Then you must also come to him lowly. If he is the Lord of all, then as lowly as he makes himself, we must be more lowly still. How could we rightly receive our king if we think of ourselves as his superior? That truly would be an offense to God, to count ourselves the equal or better than the Lord himself. Oh, but how low must that be? How far down is Jesus willing to go? As low as a donkey's colt? As low as to bear the torment and scorn of men? As low as the cross? As low as hell? As low as the grave? That is how low we must count ourselves. There's no lower you can get than the grave, than death. We must count ourselves as dead in his presence. That is the consequence of having such a lowly king as Jesus. Who then would receive him as king? Only those who are dead in their spirits. Only those who hunger and thirst after righteousness because they have none in themselves. Only the lost who have no hope of rescue unless God himself reaches down and saves them. and as can be seen from the many people who take off their cloaks and spread them in the way for which Jesus to walk upon, and who even in his lowliness praise him with loud hosannas. There were many who would follow such a lowly king, and they would do so gladly. This then is the third consequence of Jesus being a lowly king, that he divides and separates men. He is a king and savior to the meek and oppressed. He is hope for the poor and outcasts. He is friend to the sinner, but the rich and proud he sends empty away. He does not have to send them, because they want nothing to do with him. They reject him, even as the poor love him and believe on him. And because Jesus, even in lowliness, saves his people from their sins, he earns their loyalty for life. And the proud men cannot stand this. They make their boast in being good men, being better men than everybody else, better than beggars and tax collectors, better than pathetic cripples and lepers who surely deserve what they're getting. But those are the people that Jesus offers forgiveness while they are yet in their sins, while they have shown no proof yet even of a reformed life. He forgives those who clearly are not even loving God with all their hearts. They're not even loving their neighbors as themselves. And he rejects those, meanwhile, who make their boast in keeping the law, and accepts those who do nothing more than repent of their sins and believe on him. And therefore he takes away from the proud the many poor people who once trusted in their wisdom and looked up to them as the true leaders and rulers of this age, and the examples of holiness for all to follow. And since it is through his lowliness that Jesus does this, how can the proud possibly compete? The people receive joy and gladness from Jesus. He rides upon a donkey, and yet they laud him and praise him with hosannas. They never receive such praise as this Jesus receives for all the holy life that they have lived before the eyes of men. And thus, this lowly king divides the humble from the self-righteous. And in doing so, he reveals the hypocrisy of such proud men. It is still just this way when Jesus comes to us today. He comes as a lowly king still, and he asks that you receive him in no other way than the disciples did, as no other king than the king who entered Jerusalem on the back of a donkey's colt. Are you ready to receive him so? Or will Jesus be an offense to you as he was to so many in his day? For this much is certain, Jesus will continue to come in a lowly and offensive way until the day that he comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead. How is Jesus an offense today? How is it that he comes to us meekly and lowly still? Oh, in much the same way as he did then. True, we do not actually see a man riding on a donkey, but it is the same people today who praise him with hosannas. He comes among us by the preaching of his word, by the waters of baptism, by the elements of the Lord's Supper. These are lowly things in the world. They are humble. The world hates them and despises them. Where is the glory in words and simple forms like water, bread, and wine? This is how the mighty Lord of heaven and earth chooses to come to men. Are we supposed to worship him this way? Where is there any glory in that? And so, the word and sacraments of Jesus are an offense to men. They despise them. They are offended. And who does he come to in this way? Jesus continues to come to sinners, to the lowly, to the dead. He comes while we are still in our sins, when there is no hope for us. He does the same thing today as he did then. He looks at us and says, "Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven." And this gospel is still an offense to men, even the religious among us today, just as it was then. They will gladly proclaim a Jesus who demands that men live godly and holy lives and gives them rules and promises a wonderful and prosperous time on earth if only they will do things right. But they want nothing to do with the Jesus who says that yes, even today, in this modern age, all men have to count themselves as failures, all their best works as hay and stubble, and find their goodness and holiness in the same place it was when Jesus entered Jerusalem and took up his cross. Oh, we surely would have a mighty Savior, but instead, he comes to us lowly. He is a lowly Savior whose might is hidden, not only in the humble form in which he suffered and died, but in a humble gospel which is foolishness to men. And thank goodness that he comes to us lowly. For if he would come to us in all of his might and power, who could abide his presence? Who could stand on that day? For if he brings judgment and justice once and for all, there are none who would be able to survive his glory. Therefore, let us gladly receive him now as our lowly Savior, and know that we in our sins are more lowly still. Let us rejoice to have a King who saves us, his people, from our sins, so that when he comes again in all of his glory and power, we will not have to cower in terror like the world, but can shout in great joy that Christ our King has come to us forever to end the power of sin and death. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. O most merciful Father, we are not worthy of the least of the mercies and truths which you show us. Nevertheless, you have showered us with your grace while we were yet sinners, and have given us your greatest treasure, Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. How can we thank you for a gift of greater worth than heaven and earth? And this, O Lord, while we are poor and miserable sinners, who, if left to ourselves, would destroy everything good that you have given us, and be forever damned to spend eternity in hell. No, instead, you have given us your Son to become the lowliest of men. He did not come in great might, but in deep humility. He asked for not a great war steed and an entourage of mighty men, but a donkey's colt and a handful of disciples who had forsaken everything to follow him. O Lord, as we are sinners, but he is holy, let us not be proud and conceited, but lead us to daily repentance, that we might not think ourselves greater than the Lord who has become lowly, that through his lowliness we might be the redeemed of the Lord. And as he has won our salvation through humility and sacrifice, may we likewise be moved to love one another as he has loved us, and serve one another in sincerity and humility. And as the devil is constantly seeking to lure us away from your Son by the delicacies of the world and our flesh, and by the subtle lies which infect the soul and rob from us the faith by which we are made righteous, give to us your word of your Son, Jesus Christ, writing it into our hearts, that we might wear it like an armor of light, putting on Christ every day, that we might make no provision for our flesh to satisfy its wicked desires. The night is far spent, and our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Therefore, guard us from strife and envy, carousing and drunkenness, lewdness and lust, that nothing might draw us from the grace wherein we live into shame, unbelief, and death. Protect our homes. Spread the gospel abroad into the hearts of our parents. Cause the advent of your Son to be a constant source of comfort and joy among them, that they might continue to bring their little children to you, that by your word and baptism, Jesus might come into their hearts also. Let our children then be filled with your Holy Spirit, that they might sing unto Christ their hosannas of praise, and declare the blessings due to the one who comes in your name, the Son of David, Jesus Christ. Bless our nation, and bring it to repentance, that it might escape the judgment which is due her because of her unrighteousness, arrogance, and pride. Cause our governors, legislators, and magistrates to rule not for personal gain, but that righteousness, civility, peace, and liberty might be protected and preserved among us. Comfort the sick and grieving with the assurance of your compassion, and the depressed and downtrodden with the knowledge of your presence. Bring to their remembrance the lowliness of your Son, that they might remember that in all things he experienced their grief and sorrow, and overcame them with his love. All this we ask in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer. Amen. We sing hymn number 66.
Our Father's Son was slain.
be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the Messiah, the very Lamb of God, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he cometh again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Sing the Nunc Dimittis. Unto the Lord, for he is good. O God, the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. We sing hymn number 49. Thank you. Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Well, just a couple brief announcements, I guess. We have Advent service beginning this Sunday. I didn't put that in the bulletin because I had the bulletin to do Sunday, Wednesday, of course. Wednesday, 7:30. And we're going to try something a little different, maybe a little unfamiliar to Lutherans of the modern generation. For the midweek services, I'm going to chant them, which means that the parts that I say right before the singing parts for the congregation will also be sung. And so we'll see how that goes. I have some practicing to do. It'll just be for the midweek services only, and because I have a lot of learning yet to do to learn the chants for the regular service. But so if you're unfamiliar with what chant is, it's been the practice in the church since the Old Testament days. It's carried through by the early church, common in the church pretty much all through till the 20th century, when it began to fall out of use. But many places in the world, Lutherans have chanted for generations and never stopped. So, we'll see how it goes.